your Son Jesus, that you flood our minds with light. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans 12:11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Let's look at the subject of serving the Lord. What does it mean to serve the Lord? I believe on Wednesday we went through that already, so I'll just take it further. What does it mean to serve the Lord? Romans 12:11. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now, look at the word fervent in spirit there means you are boiling. You are boiling. There's another word. It says, not slothful in business or activity. A version will say, not lagging behind in zeal. So zeal is involved in serving the Lord. So you can't serve the Lord without zeal. You can't serve the Lord without zeal. Now, there are different kinds of zeal. Zeal simply means your passion. Something you are doing with effort. Now, you know, zeal can be applied to many things. You can be zealous about watching football, for example. If many would want it, they wouldn't love to be zealous about their jobs. They want to get the salary, you know, without the zeal. So don't let's call that one zeal. You want to watch football, you're zealous. So you can be zealous about things. That means you are applying a lot of activity to what you're doing. But he says, this one is, do not be slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Praise the Lord. I remember when I received Christ. As I received Christ, I wanted to serve the Lord. So, I began to get very active. I remember the very first week, I attended a crusade that was holding every day in the night. I was there every day. So in my heart, I was giving back to the Lord just by going for the crusade. I was going for the crusade. Going there every day. I come back at night every day. So I felt I was serving the Lord by going for the crusade. Or you go to church every day. Then when you get to church, you sit down, you hear the word every day. And then you get up and leave. You say, where did you go to? I went to church service. And I thought that was it. Just be doing things. Go to church. Go for crusades. Sometimes go for prayer meetings. We'll see the difference shortly. Go for prayer meetings. But is that really serving the Lord? You're going to church. You're going to hear the word. Is that serving the Lord? And there are some of you, though I believe you are going to repent, change your mind, after today, you might not be able to say you went to church service. Some will be able to say it, but some, by saying it, you are lying. Look at the background of that statement. Verse 10. In fact, I'll start from verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. I'm going to avoid the use of original words today if I can. I'm going to do my best. But if I don't, just know that There's no temptation that is not common to man. Be kindly affectioned. Oh, sorry, verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. The word dissimulation there is pretense. Pretense. Have you ever been in service? Say, talk to your neighbor, say, tell your neighbor, say, you are blessed or something like that. And you turn to your neighbor and it happens to somebody that you are having what the Nigerians call quanta. You say, you are blessed. Turn your person and say, smile, don't you know God loves you? Then you talk to the person that maybe the sister that gave you, that nailed you to the cross. Smile, don't you know? Or the brother that you were eyeing with the eye of faith. And then by the next week, he was already reconciled to another. They smile, don't you know God loves you? You're singing, right? Smile, don't you know God loves you? And you are not smiling. Come to think of it. Taking your time smiling to someone, and before you're true, I won't ever be smiling back at you. So, love without pretense. That means love without sincerity is not the love of God. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. So let me ask you a question. At this point, is he talking about relationships? Huh? Talk to me, church. Relationships. Very fine. He's talking about people. So he says in verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. The word brotherly love there, oh my God, is the word brotherly love. It means to love someone actually, the word brother is it means to come from the same womb. Alright? So, brother love means see the person as having the same identity with you. Brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. That is, you are actually rating the other person above yourself. So, he's talking about the love of God, right? Come on, talk to me, church. Come on. Are we together here? He's talking about the love of God. Then he says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So, serving the Lord is the same as loving others. Serving the Lord is not just the activity. It is what the activity is for. There are people today who go to church and they are very diligent. When I got born again, I didn't have, my old man wasn't that rugged. I was too young to have an old man that was so rugged. You know what I mean by rugged? You don't know what I mean. Don't try to know it. But there was enough sin consciousness around me that I said, I will do anything for you, Lord. I will do anything for you. Later on, there was this prayer groups we used to have, Mondays and Tuesdays. Then Thursdays and Fridays, you pick the 2 days, you have a vigil. There's Saturdays and Sundays. I joined all the prayer groups. And why did I join it? I felt, I can't in my head imagine burning in hellfire. Hellfire. So let me do everything. So assuming there's a part of my life that is not perfect, I can make up with prayer. So if this part is not perfect, I know that my mind still goes gaga. My words. So, and I still used to, then I was very, very crazy about Michael Jackson. If you don't like Michael Jackson, I need to pray the Pauline prayers for you. I'm joking. And, you know, and then Michael Jackson was now replaced by MC Hammer. You don't know MC Hammer? So, that was a major cross. So I feel, someone to now preach the sermon. I stopped the music altogether, so I stopped. Someone said, even if you don't listen to what the music boy is playing in your mind. Ah. So, in your mind, that is a sin. I couldn't, because there were enough lyrics in my mind for it not to stop playing. It was on auto-repeat. In my mind already. So I felt, okay, if I can't control this part, I can make it up by prayer. At least, I just looked at it. If I have -4 in my life, and I can put +8, that's +4. Even if I cannot make +8, if I can make +5, that's -1. By the time we get to the gates, you say, music has taken your life, -4. But you have been praying, +8. Remove one from the other, then I have 4. I don't even know what I'm talking about. It's a mindset. Yet you'll be going to church, but you're not serving the Lord. Because at the back of what I was doing was self. It was self. It was all about earning something that was given to me free. So, the activity is not as important as the reason for it. The activity is not as important as the reason for it. So, he says, be kindly affectioned one to another. You cannot serve the Lord without loving the people that he died for. You can't do it. You can't serve the Lord in a vacuum. Say, me and the Lord, we have this personal relationship. He's my Jesus, you are my best friend. Is that the song? For you, you know. Many guys just replace Jesus, or they replace their, okay, let me leave that. So that won't look like I'm hitting at some people. But the truth is, you feel you're serving the Lord because you are always coming to church. 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 That's not serving the Lord. You cannot serve the Lord without people. That's why Paul laid the foundation by saying, you first of all, love people. When you love them, be kindly affectionate with them. Do not be pretentious about your love. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Fervent about the love of God for others. Serving the Lord. Look at it now. It's so clear. Rejoicing in hope, it says. Patient tribulations, continuing in prayer. Distributing, verse 13, to the necessity of saints. Giving to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice with them that do weep. Be the same mind of one to one another. Mind not high things, nor consider the men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Can you see it's talking about love? Can you see it now? Come on, can you see it? Love not for God, love for people. God never asks you to love him. I love you, Jesus. I love you. I could sing of your love forever. But you can't. You cannot sing forever. You are not singing now, are you? I could sing of your love forever. Oh, Lord, because of me, you gave up your life at the cross of Calvary, shedding your blood for me. That's ignorance, because he didn't shed the blood of Calvary. shedding your blood for me. What else can I say? What else can I do? I will tell you. But to praise you from my heart singing, hallelujah. So all you are going to be doing, and to praise you from my heart singing, hallelujah. You are ignorant. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I praise you from my heart. Someone says, Shuri, I've not been able to do it yesterday. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Cause His face will shine upon you. He will stir up men to help you. Lord, I praise you from my heart singing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh. You have not met Him. He never asked you to love Him. He doesn't need love. He asked you to love others. So serving the Lord is about our love for others. If what you do is not motivated by your love for others, you are not serving the Lord. Look at Matthew 25. Are you in church? Matthew 20, not 25. Watch this. Something happened among the disciples. Matthew 20. In verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshipping him. She's lying down and saying, oh, Jesus, son of Mary. She's worshipping him and desiring a thing of him. And he asked her, what do you want? What would thou? She said, grant with that these my two sons, mommies are great people. My two sons may sit the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. She's not talking about the resurrection, no. She's assuming that Jesus is coming to take over. So he says, please, when you take over, let this one be vice president. Let the other one be senior president. And as she said that, what happened? The Bible says, in verse 24, let's go to 24. When they turned to 10, heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. Can you see? It's been happening for long. Why the two of them? Now, why were they moved with indignation? They were not moved with indignation against the mother who asked. They were moved against the people who the question was asked for. What does that show you? That means everybody wanted the same thing. That's why they were angry. Assuming she said, I will that my two children should die with you. They will say, go for it. I've always known you, John. You are a man of sacrifice. Hallelujah. And Jesus let them see, if you read the previous verses, that this kingdom is not a kingdom of having money. It's a kingdom of suffering. Can you take the cup that I want, that I have, that I bear? And they were all angry. That happens in churches. People will be angry. So why is it that? Why is it that? Every time, is that brother that Pastor Jakes tells to lead the prayer? That prayer, why? Are we not all men of prayer? Pastor has told us that this ministry is not the ministry of followers. Hallelujah. Pastoring is very exciting. There are things you will see. You will not imagine they can happen in the body of Christ. But such is life. See, I'm telling you. Have you noticed it? Notice it. Notice that there's a particular brother. It's not fair. And we are all the children of God. We are all children of God. They were angry. They are not angry at the pastor. Now, they're angry at that brother. And that brother doesn't know anything. He just come in. He just say, good morning, brother. Sir, I was greeting you. I answered you now. Do I have to hug you? Something is wrong somewhere. Hallelujah. Men love position. A lot. Men love positions. Sometimes positions that they didn't work for. You love it. Praise the Lord. So they began to fight. And Jesus now called unto them and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. It shall not be so among you. Hallelujah. Look at that. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. That's your servant. Let him be your servant. Then he says, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. It shall not be so among you. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Let's take verse 28 together. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. Do you see that? But to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He came not to be ministered unto. He came to serve. Jesus died as a servant. He died as a servant. He didn't die as the Lord. He became Lord because he's the servant. The Lordship of Christ is in service. So what he said here, he actually acted upon it. His Lordship is his service. Hallelujah. Are you there? I was speaking somewhere. I was at school. And then a man got up. He said, he was rude. The man was rude to someone. He didn't speak well. And so he got up and he said, I am so and so. Because it's a Bible school, so you have different kinds of people who'll be there. Right Reverend Doctor, Left Reverend Doctor, Middle Reverend Doctors. Circle bishops, rectangular bishops, they were all there. So the man said, I am the so and so, the general of Assyria. I said, sir, what a shame. He looked at me, he thought I was going to, I said, it's a shame. The way we should know that you are the general of Assyria, as you claim, is by not knowing. It's by not knowing that that's who you are. That's how we should know. You ought to be, I said, sir, you ought to be the example here. If they ask everybody to come in here by 8, if you are truly a general overseer, you should be here by 7:30. When I finish with him. I said, sir, this is not Christ-like. I said, so, sir, go and apologize. Or are you too big to apologize? He said, go and apologize. That is how to be a leader. It is in the world that you tell them, Father, who is that? I'm chief doctor, professor. Oh! You know, in the world they do that. Then you come in. That's in the world, but not so in Christ. In Christ, we see leadership by servanthood. That's the difference. And many people do not know what I'm talking about. Leadership by servanthood. I was preaching somewhere a while back. And I was so shocked. So I began to explain the concept of giving, New Testament giving. The pastor was uncomfortable, very uncomfortable. And I always tell people, if you are going to invite me, go and look at what I preach. I will not compromise it on your pulpit. Someone told me, he said, I want you to come and preach, but please be very silent on the finished work of Christ. I said, it is finished. A guy told me, he said, come and raise money for us. We need money. We know people like you. When you raise money, we'll give you this plan. I said, I'm not coming again. What an insult. I said, I need money, but not that kind of money. He said, no, sir, we are sorry, sir. We'll change. I said, don't bother changing it. I know your motives. You are not men of God. Even though you have churches, you are not men of God. So I was talking to this man, and so he saw the light of the word of God, you know, and he couldn't question it. So we got to his office. Three of us were there. And then he said, man of God, I know what you are saying is right. Very large church, the Ghanaian. So, man of God, I know what you are saying is like. Right. Very correct, sir. Very, very correct. A bishop he is. He says, very correct. He said, but it's our people that are causing these things. I said, how, sir? Sir, when they will not give. That's not the point now. Listen carefully. He said, when they will not give. You say this, that, and then, you know, we have to pay bills. We have to pay that bill. We have to pay this bill. We have to pay that bill. So when I see that's how they act. I tell them we need 100 million higher. By the time I preach the love of God to them, they will still not give more than 5 million. Said, so I know what to do. Listen carefully. Said, I will bring a false prophet. He told me, said, when that one comes, he says, hey you, they will drop all the money in one service. He said, as they are dropping it, I'll be saying to them, mumu. I almost collapsed. He said, mumu. I know because it's not a Nigerian, the mumu sounded somehow. Mumu. Ah. And as I was speaking, the next person beside me was laughing. He said, yes. After all, the money will come either way. Then I said, sir. He said, because how can they expect us to be evicted from the property? I said, it is more honorable to God that they evict you out of that property than for you to hurt the gospel. Don't you know you have heard the gospel? He now kept quiet, looking at me. When I left his office, I was so sad. He called. In fact, he said, that is why church members are called sheep. You don't get that. Sheep. See, that's why they are called sheep. I said, what? I said, sir. Okay, I said this before I left. I said, must you do those projects? Then he looked at me. He said, most of what you are calling church projects are ambitious things. He left. You obviously was not a servant of Christ. He was not. So when he told me, would you come and speak for us? I said, let me check my schedule. I was never going to speak for you. Not again. That's not a servant of Christ. It's not. And I know many of them abound everywhere. I recall a couple of years back, over 15, 16 years ago or more, I was on pastor's team. They thought I was like them. So they were saying, that first day, that guy did not perform. He didn't perform. We saw the offering. How much is this? We just told him, man of God, this is not enough. How much are we going to share you? I was listening to them. I was going, Then he said, by the second day, hey, the guy was on point. He raised. And then the meeting was on a campus. About 16 years ago or so. Said he raised 250,000 in one service. Cash. Said, yes! By the next day, he doubled it. Then we shared in his portion. So the father was quiet. Said, Moji. I just said, no, I'm listening to you. These are not servants of Christ. They are not. Hallelujah. Jesus said, he that will be chief must serve. Serve. He said, the Son of Man did not come to be ministered to, but to minister. Hallelujah. Service is never what you get. Service is what others get. So if you claim you came to church service, the question is, who did you serve? Throughout this service, who did you serve but yourself? Are you there? Are you there? Look at 2 Corinthians 8. This is the reason why, you see, many times, in fact, I call one of the students in one of the schools I teach, said, sir, it appears like all the scriptures used for prosperity, as we call it today, are scriptures about service and giving that were twisted. I said, exactly. We can see a couple of them. Exactly. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. The life of Christianity is service. He forgave you so that you forgive others. So his death for our sins was not just for redemption, it was also an example. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. Yes, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. A very clear scripture that has been twisted. Look at chapter verse 1 of that same chapter. Moreover, brethren, we do you to the wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Said the grace of God upon the churches of Macedonia. Don't forget that the church of Macedonia included the church at Philippi. Are you there? Are you there? So he says, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, that is, they had affliction, they had economic challenges, real sufferings. There was suffering going on. Then he says, and their deep poverty. He didn't say poverty. He said deep. Deep poverty. That means that many people could not pay their bills. Deep poverty. He says, abounded unto the riches of what? Their liberality. So, saying that you don't have enough, he's saying here, is not an excuse not to give. This was deep poverty. Yet, it abounded the riches of their liberality. That is, their financial hardship did not disturb the grace of God. They gave. Are you still there? Come on guys, are you still there? Watch this now. Then he says, for to their power I bear record. Yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Hallelujah. What an example. I saw their power. I saw what they couldn't do. Yet they were willing to do what they couldn't do. Then he says in verse 4, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gifts and take upon us the fellowship of the ministry to the saints. These were poor people giving to the poor, as it were. Then he says, and this they did, not as we hoped. Listen carefully now. But first, gave their own selves to the Lord. This is the verse of scripture that means to give your life to Christ. When you are born again, you are not giving your life to Christ. It's Christ who gave his life to you. But when you start to serve, you are now giving your life to Christ. Are you listening to that? Are you listening to that? So it says they gave themselves first to the Lord. And unto us. Can you see that? And unto us. By the will of God. They gave themselves to the church. A whole church. Follow this now. Insomuch as we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he should finish in you the same grace also. So Paul is sending Titus to Corinth to explain this truth to them, so that they can be perfect in it, so that they can be matured in this grace. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Is this the grace of receiving or the grace of giving? Okay. Giving even when you don't have enough. Then he says, therefore, as you are bound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you are bound in this grace also. What is this grace? The grace of not having enough, yet giving to others to have. Then he says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, to prove the sincerity of your love. The sincerity of your love. Hallelujah. The sincerity of your love. People that walk in love don't have seasons of it. They do it all the time. Follow this now. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, not talking about material things, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Is this a verse of prosperity or a verse for giving? Huh? What kind of giving now? Giving when you don't even have enough to take care of yourself. He was made poor spiritually, that you might be made rich spiritually. That's what he's saying in there. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him the sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Well, someone say, but why would he be talking about giving material things, and he's talking about what Christ gave to us that was not material? What other example should he have given of Christ? That's the example. The death of Jesus was not just for our sins, it was also as an example. Remember what he said. He said the Son of Man did not come to be ministered to, but to give his life as what? A ransom. So Jesus is giving his life as a ransom for us is an example of how we should serve one another. Now listen carefully. You cannot give your life as a ransom for anybody, because a ransom has been paid. But you can give yourself and your things from that example of Christ to help others. Are you following what we're saying here? Look at 1 John 3. 1 John 3. There cannot be service without love. Genuine love for others. There can be service. If you put your money in the offering bag, for example, and what you're doing is you are trying to get God to do something for you, you are not serving the Lord. If you put your money in the offering bag and you have just as an obligation, you say, let me just put something there. It's offering time, you know. You are still not serving the Lord. You cannot serve God without the love of God as your motive or motivation. 1 John 3. Want us to read it together. 1 John 3. Verse 16. Let's go. Let's go, everybody. 1 John 3:16. Are you ready? Oh, come on. 1 John 3:16. Are you ready now? Are you ready? Let's go. Everybody, let's start again. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now hold on. He laid down his life for our sins. Are we laying down our lives for the brethren for their sins? No. What he did was spiritual. What we do will be what? Physical. Look at the next verse. But whoso hath this world's goods, he's explaining himself now, and sees his brother have need, and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Hallelujah. That was what James was dealing with. He said, faith without works is dead. What works? Your brother is in need. And you say, bless you, brother. I can see you. I can see everything turning around. He says, where is your faith and work? James was saying, faith, salvation, without the love of God, profits nobody. Profits nobody. Because the work of faith is love. The work of faith, the fruit of righteousness, is the love of God. How can you claim to walk in love and love people and there's nothing you are doing for them? So you can't claim to love God without loving people. Loving people is loving God. 1 John 4. Are you in church? Are you still in church? Look at verse 19. We love him. The word him there is italicized. We love him because he first loved us. Let's read verse 20 and 21 together. Let's go. Verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. Go on. For he that loves not his brother, whom he had seen, how can he love God, whom he had not seen? Verse 21. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God, loves his brother also. Can you say amen? Can I have an amen there? So loving God is loving people. Serving God is serving people. You can't serve God in a vacuum. I love God. I love him. I serve him. I believe in him and all that. And then you see people and then you do nothing to them. That's not serving God. That's serving yourself. Praise the Lord. So the sacrifice of Christ is used. Not just, the sacrifice of Christ is not just the fact that he died for our sins. It is the example of Christian living. That's the example. Just like Philippians 2. Philippians 2 used the sacrifice of Christ. He was God, became a man, and became a servant to show us what humility is. Hallelujah. The joy of service is that others are blessed. The joy of service. A man who is a servant of God, his reward is in the lives of the people he serves. His reward is in the lives of the people he serves. That's why his prayers are never primarily for himself. No. His prayers are for others. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 9:8. Look at another one. So many scriptures that ought to be scriptures of service have been turned around for scriptures of the very funny teaching on prosperity. 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you always have in sufficient in all things, may abound unto every good work. How would you leave that kind of thing out of context? We just read chapter 8 now, where he described grace as what? Grace as given to others. Are you there? Are you there? Grace as given to others. How would you now make the grace change the next chapter? Look at verse 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they will go before unto you, pay attention here now, and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof you had noticed before. Pay attention. Look at the word bounty, because we're going to look at it shortly. That the same might be ready as a matter of bounty, not as of covetousness. So, what is the opposite of bounty? Talk to me, church, sense community, huh? What is the opposite of covetousness? Okay. So, covetousness means I'm placing a demand on you to do it. That is, the preacher is covetous. So, I desire that you give. Bounty means it came from where? Your heart. Is that clear? Is that very clear? Is that very clear? Let's take it again. So, covetousness means a demand is placed on you by the preacher. Bounty is what? You chose to do it by yourself. Is that right? Who understands what I'm saying? Let me see your hand. Come on, let me see. Wave to me, please, so that I know we're on the same page. You don't understand? You let me see your hand. So I can go back if you want me to go back. Is it clear to you? Look at the next verse. And this I say, he that sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So bountifully means your choice, free will. So sparingly will mean what? Not of free will. Are you there? Are you following this, church? Come on. So it's not he that sows 10,000 will reap 100,000. He that sows 10 naira. No. He's dealing with attitude. Are you following what we're saying here? So sparing giving is not quantity, it is motive. Bountiful giving is not quantity, it is motive. Look at the next verse. Every man as he purposes well. Let's take verse 7 together. Let's go. As he purposes in his heart. What kind of, is that bountifully or sparingly? Okay. Let him give, not grudgingly or necessity. Sparingly or bountifully? Sparingly is what? So bountifully is what? Purposing your heart. Sparingly is grudgingly of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. So a cheerful giver is the bountiful giver, the very opposite of the sparing giver. Are you following what I'm saying? Come on. Is it dealing with quantity or quality? Motive. Come on. Is it clear? Look at the next verse. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Now, when God makes all grace abound towards you, what does that make me do? I give bountifully. Are you following this? Very good. So that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to what? Every good work. He's not talking about receiving prosperity. He's talking about giving. Look at the next verse. As it is written, he had dispersed abroad. He had given to the poor. His righteousness, he's quoting here from Psalm 112 verse 9. His righteousness remains forever. That means his good deeds. Are you following this? His good deeds remains forever. Now look at verse 10. So he says, shall reap bountifully. He that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. What's he talking about? You're going to see shortly. Verse 10. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiplies your seed sown, and increase the fruit of your righteousness. What does it mean? Increase the fruit of your righteousness and multiply your seed sown. Look at verse 11. Being enriched, let's take it together, verse 11. Being enriched in everything, in all bountifulness, which causes through us what? So what do you get? What do you get? Thanksgiving to God from those you minister to. Follow it now. Verse 12. Look at verse 12. Let's take verse 12 slowly. 12. Let's go. For the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving to God. So what do you reap when you give cheerfully? One, the needs of the saints are met, and they are grateful to God for him. Not that you get money. Look at the next verse. Verse 13, let's go. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, everybody let's go, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them, and unto all men. Verse 14, let's go. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Verse 15, let's go. Thanks be unto God for this beautiful gift. So are you giving to get? No. You are giving to supply the needs of others. And what do you get out of that? Their needs are met and they give thanks to God on your behalf. Is that very clear? Church, is that very clear? So it's not a casino kind of giving. You give to meet the needs of others. Because what you in service, what should be on your mind are the needs of others. The moment it's your need that is in your mind, you are no longer serving the Lord. Because you cannot serve the Lord without the love of God. And the love of God is not about you. The love of God is about others. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So the death of Jesus is service to us. Service for us. It becomes an example of how to serve. Be fervent in the Spirit. Serving the Lord. That means be fervent in the love of God. Because Romans 5:5 says, it says, for hope maketh not ashamed. For the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that is given to us. So, if you are fervent in spirit, you are fervent in love. You are boiling in love. You don't give up. You keep helping people. You keep helping others. You keep assisting others. You keep being there. Praise the Lord. Are you in church? Look at 1 Corinthians 11. So many scriptures that were written by the apostles for service, they have been converted to selfishness. Look at this one. 1 Corinthians 11. The popular only communion or holy communion scripture. I tell you, many people do not know that most of those sacraments, listen carefully now, most of those sacraments and traditions were instituted by the Catholic Church. And they were used for control. Because you will never find anywhere either Jesus or the apostles instructed anyone to be holding a service. And they will bring bread and wine. They say, this is the body of Jesus, this is his blood. There's nowhere in the Bible. We're about to see one again. But it's done for control. Just like the oil, the mantle, the feet washing. No, baptism is going to be very, very tedious every Sunday. So you just do that one once. I asked a fellow, said, why do you do water baptism just once and only communion, as you call it, every week? Since you say the bread is the body of Jesus Christ sacrificed for us. I said, how many times will you sacrifice? He says once. What about the blood? He said once. What about the baptism? He said it means the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. How many times did it happen? Once. Why are you doing this one once? This one every Sunday. He was looking at me like this. Say, you this guy. You always stress people. I'm not stressing you. I'm just asking you the right questions. Because you are practicing something you have not found out what really it is. Look at 1 Corinthians 11. Verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Verse 25, out of the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Do this, yea, as often as you drink it, and in the remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord dead till he comes. Praise the Lord. So why don't we hold Holy Communion service in this church? Look at what Paul says. Why? The guy said to me, I don't attend that church. I said, why? They don't eat communion. He said, I felt that it's those. He said, they're a cult. Why do you call them a cult? Because they don't eat. I thought cults are the ones that eat. Oh, you didn't get that. Was Paul teaching people to hold communion services? See, every time a scripture is misinterpreted, the very essence of that scripture is never known. Because like I always tell you, a scripture today can never mean what it never meant when it was written. No matter how you see it, no matter how you want to believe it. Now, look at that verse again. For I have received of the Lord. Paul says he received of the Lord that which I delivered to you. That means Jesus sat down and said to Paul, Paulo or Saulo. Which one would Jesus call him? The Jewish name or the Roman name? Okay, Paulo, Saulo. The lie that was betrayed. Shall I tell you what happened? What happened? Judas betrayed me, you know. Let me ask you a question. What Paul said here, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Was it a revelation? I asked a question. Was it a revelation? No, people were there. Revelation would be what people couldn't see. People were there. There were at least 12 folks there. And more. So Paul wasn't sharing a revelation. Paul received of the Lord what he's saying here from people that saw him. Because what he says here is recorded in the 4 gospel accounts. And this one precisely was written by Luke. And Luke told us where he got it from. Luke in Luke chapter 1, pay attention here now. Luke chapter 1, verse 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministered of the word. So who gave Luke this account? Eyewitness was not there. Are you following this, church? Come on, are you following this? So who gave Luke this account? Eyewitnesses. The apostles that were there. So Luke 22. Verse 19. And took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Verse 20. Likewise, also the cup after supper saying, this blood cup is the New Testament in my blood. This is shed for you. Let me ask you a question. Was this seen by others? So could this be a revelation that Paul was writing? No. This is a historical account. Let me see if I follow what I'm saying here. So, let's get to this one. Captain, come on. Pay attention here now. What was Paul teaching? The lesson of this thing is so lost in the midst of bread and wine. Some say, Jesus was instituting the communion service. Don't be a joker. This is not communion service. If you say this to a Jew, he will laugh at you. Because you'll be talking without wisdom. What was going on this table was what the Jews called the Passover feast, which had preceded Jesus. They had been doing it hundreds of years before Jesus came. So Jesus could not have been the one who started it. Let me see if you follow what I'm saying here. He couldn't have been the one. Look at it. Luke 22 verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near. Which is called what? Which is called what? So this is called the feast of the unleavened bread, which the Jews celebrated every year. So it is very likely that Jesus must have done at least 30, about 30 before now. In fact, from the way the disciples told him, the Lord, let's go and prepare the Passover for you, it's not unlikely that they have been eating this Passover before now. So Jesus did not start this. This was started in Exodus 12 by Moses. Exodus 12 by Moses. When Moses took the children of Israel out of Egypt. Exodus chapter 12. In verse 12. I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Then can we take verse 13 together and verse 14? Let's go. And the blood, I'll be with you. Come on, wait, I'll wait for you. Let's go. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Verse 14, let's go. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. You shall keep it to a feast to the Lord through your generations. You shall call it a feast by an ordinance forever. Can you see it? Come on, can you see it? Along with that is also called the feast of the unleavened bread. Look at verse 15. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eats leavened bread from the first day unto the seventh day, the soul shall be cut off from Israel. So that means both the Passover, where you kill a lamb, alright, and the unleavened bread, they are celebrated together. Come on. Are you following this? So this was done by the Jews. You have the unleavened bread, the Passover, then 49 days after the Passover is done, you now have what is called Pentecost. Pentecost is not spirit. It's not speaking in tongues. Pentecost just means 50. Say, I'm a Pentecostal. You are a 50s coaster. Ignorance. It's just 50. So, follow this one. So, did Jesus start this ceremony? Did Jesus start this ceremony? So, let me ask you. You are in Saints Community Church, so I know you think. Let me ask you. So, what was he then doing on the table by saying, this is my body? Was that his body? Was that bread his body? What must he have been passing across to them? Huh? That the lamb that was sacrificed and the bread that was taken was about me. Right? Come on, church. That means Jesus was taking their mind off what? Off what? Off bread to woo. Taking their mind off wine to woo. What have we done these days? We have taken our minds off him to back to bread. And back to cup. So Jesus was not instituting a communion service. Is that clear? Is that very clear? Jesus was explaining the meaning or the symbolical meaning of this. Is that very clear? So, who is our Passover? 1 Corinthians 5. The person who wrote 1 Corinthians 11 expected you to have started from chapter 1. Right? Because he did not write the letter in chapters. If you have started from chapter 1, it's very likely you'll have read chapter 5 verse 7. Let's take chapter 5 verse 7, 1 Corinthians 5. Let's go. I'll wait for you, come on. Verse 7, let's go. Purge ye therefore the whole leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are what? So who is unleavened? Who is unleavened? We are unleavened. Are you following this? Okay. For even, go on. Christ, our Passover is what? Hold on now. Christ, our Passover, which is the lamb, is sacrificed for us. So our Passover cannot be bread and wine. Our Passover is in the death of Christ for our sins. Is it clear? Is it very clear? Very good. So, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 16. In fact, verse 14 says, therefore, my beloved, dearly beloved, flee from idolatry, which is what we are doing today. Flee from idolatry. I speak, 1 Corinthians 10, 15. I speak as to wise men. Someone say, I'm wise. Ah, say it loud. Say, I'm wise. I know you are wise. Look at what he says. Judge ye what I say. So wise people judge. Judge you what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Let's take verse 17 together. This will make sense to you. Let's go, 17. For we being many are what? And one body. For we are all partakers of what? So we all together are what? One bread. So he had expected you to read. To have read that. Now, go to chapter 11. The lost lesson of 1 Corinthians 11. Chapter 11. Now what we're going to do is that we're going to remove chapter 23 to chapter 20. So sorry, verse 23 to verse 26. We will not read it. We'll get back to it, but we won't read it. Pay attention, please. Verse 23 to 26, we won't read it at all. Now listen carefully now. Now, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, verse 17, before we go further, the bread of the Passover, is it any kind of bread or unleavened bread? So if you bring out agege bread, that is not the Passover, not the unleavened bread ceremony. So if you read your Bible and you hear, and Jesus broke bread, was that the Passover? Was that the unleavened bread? Hold on. When that boy gave 5 loaves and 2 fish, the Bible says Jesus broke the bread. Was that the unleavened bread? No. When Jesus rose from the dead and he met his disciples in Luke 24 and he broke bread before them, was that the unleavened bread? No. Breaking bread simply means to share food. So when you read, and the church, they broke bread from house to house, it means they were sharing food. He's not talking about Passover. Passover is a particular ceremony. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? It has a particular time of the year when it is celebrated. So when you read, he broke bread, don't say communion. Communion. Is that clear? So the Lord's Supper is not the Passover. The Passover was never called the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is what we call today like love feast. We come together and share food amongst us. I'll explain some of these things in the teaching, Matters in Corinth. You can lay your hands on it. Matters in Corinth. It's also in some of our books. Understands that word, that readers, volume 1. Especially if we just reprinted it, you can get that too. So look at this now. 1 Corinthians 1, so 11, 17, are you there? Now in this, I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there are the divisions among you, and I partly believe. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Are you following this? Are you following this? When you come together, therefore, so Paul was dealing with divisions. Was he dealing with divisions? From the very first chapter, what was he dealing with? Come on, talk to me, church. Divisions. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, let's say 21 together, for in eating, every one of you takes before the other his own supper. And one is hungry, so it is no longer the Lord's Supper if you are taking what you brought. Are you listening? And another is what? Drunken. Drunken actually means drunken. Okay? It means drunken. In Yoruba, it says shayo. Very good. So verse 22. What? Have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God? And shame them that have not. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. At this point, what would you think Paul was dealing with? Talk to me. What do you think he was addressing? Selfishness? Right? Lack of care one for another? Right? Those who have are not giving to those who don't have? Is it making sense? Is it making sense? Okay, so remember we have skipped verse 23 to 26. So 27. Therefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink the cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of bread and drink of the cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily. Now let me ask you a question. How do you eat and drink unworthily? Selfishness. When you eat, you serve yourself. And you despise those who don't have. Is this very clear? Is this very clear? Now, and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the bread. Huh? Not discerning who? Where is the lost body? Where is the lost body? Turn to the lost body near you. That brother and that sister. So when you don't share with those who don't have, what are you doing? You are not discerning the lost body. Look at verse 30. For this cause, many are what? Sickly among you and many sleep. Is it for the bread or for selfishness? Is this clear? Someone said, no, for this cause, if you eat the bread and you have sin in your life, go and sit down. He was referring to not sharing with those who don't have. For this reason, for this selfishness among you, for this lack of love, some are sick. Many are sick, sickly among you, many sleep. Look at 31. If we judge not ourselves, we will not be judged. And when you are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Can we take verse 33 together? Wherefore, so how do we judge ourselves? Verse 33. How do we judge ourselves? My brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you may come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. So, at this point, what do you think Paul was teaching? Huh? What? Selfishness. When you have, give to those who don't have. So let's go back to, why then did he insert the Passover? Did he insert the Passover as an instruction for you to eat bread and wine or as an example? That Jesus sacrificed for us. If he sacrificed for us and shared his body for all of us, we are that one bread. And you now bring food. And with somebody that is one bread with you, one body, and you don't share with the person, you are what? You are not discerning the lost body. So look at the lost lesson. The lesson of selflessness has been turned to eating bread and wine like idolatry. Hallelujah. Is this very clear to you? Let me see how it's clear to you. Is it clear to you? So what is communion? Communion is to give. Hallelujah. What lesson do we have from Christ our Passover? That when somebody is hungry, you give to him. Is this very clear? Is this very clear? So nobody has taught anyone to hold communion service. It's just a practice that has no basis in the scriptures. In fact, if you want to stick to the practice, you will have to go to the routine. How it is you eat. You can't eat Passover like that. Oh. You will take bread, your unleavened bread, not agege bread. You have 4 cups, bitter herbs. You kill the Paschal lamb. That's too long, Abby. That's why Christ is your Passover. Hallelujah. And because of what he has done, you gave yourself to others. Scriptures that mean love and service have been used for selfish things. I serve the Lord. Say, I serve the Lord. Say, I serve the Lord. I discern the Lord's body. I meet the needs of others. I care for others. I'm not selfish. I'm motivated by the love of God for others. Hallelujah. I'm fervent in the Spirit. I'm fervent in love. So Christ's death is for our sins. is also as an example. If he shed his blood for us, and we're that one bread, and then you bring food to the house of God, and then you don't share. Today it could be your car. It could be money. It could be anything. You don't serve. So a service is not a service if you did nothing for anybody. You prayed only for yourself. You heard the word only for yourself, and you left the church. You did not serve the Lord. If you are going to serve the Lord, you must discern the Lord's body. You must give. What are you giving to others? Are you giving your time to others? Are you giving your efforts to others? Are you giving your money to others? Are you praying for others? Are you there for other believers? That's why it's almost impossible for someone to say he's growing up spiritually and he's not in a church. How? How do you express your growth? To who? To who? Like I've told you, you have to be very, very cautious of the age we're in, the social media age, where the local church, everything spoken about in local church is rendered almost useless. You have to be careful. And that's why I expect people that in our church, the Saints Community Church, to act like men who are cultured. Hallelujah. Cultured by the word, cultured by the spirit. Hallelujah. What is service? I went to church service. Which service did you go for? Who served you? The usher served you. Those who cleaned the floor served you. Those who made sure the place was available for you, they served you. Who did you serve? Who did you serve? Who did you serve? Who did you make your resources available to? Who did you make your time available to? Who? You need to learn to serve the Lord. To serve the Lord is to serve others. I've told you, I close here. Christianity is not a personal thing. No. Christianity is collective. The life of Christianity is not lived in your room. The life of Christianity is lived amongst people. I'm enjoying my Christian life. Every morning I pray. Every morning I hear the word. I'm just refreshed in my spirit, man. I'm enjoying my... You are not growing. How can that be Christianity? Imagine if all of us were refreshed in our spirit, man. I would say in our room, enjoying our Christianity. Who do you serve? Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Scriptures that ought to be scriptures of service have been turned over. In Ephesians 4:28, Paul says, let him that stole steal no more. A guy was quoting that verse for me as a prosperity scripture. Say, Pastor, that scripture for me is my prosperity scripture. I asked a question. Are you a thief? He said, let him that stole. I said, oh, hallelujah, let him that stole. Are you him that stole? Let him steal no more. But let him work with his own hands that which is good, honest. Paul is preaching change of conduct. That he may have to give to him that is in need. The same principle. Service. Not prosperity. Service. Philippians 4. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. What was he talking about? He said, I know how to abase. I know how to abound. I know how to have and I know how to suffer want. I can do all these things. Hallelujah. Through Christ that strengthens me. Some of you know how to abound. But when it comes to abasing, you start to curse. No, Christ can strengthen you to abase. Hallelujah. Christ can strengthen you to want and be content. And I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Then he began to thank the church in Philippi. He said, no church, verse 15, communicated to me in giving and receiving, but you only. You minister to my wants when I have nothing. Paul didn't say, oh, God, I sowed a seed or I spoke words of faith. He said, you helped me out. Then he prayed back. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ. Where are the riches in glory? They are in believers. So the way you met my needs, when you have needs, God will supply it. His riches in glory are in believers. That is, since he met my needs according to his riches in glory through you, when you have needs, God will meet your own needs too. Is that very clear? Hallelujah. Are you serving God? Are you serving the Lord? Serving the Lord is serving others. Being not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I want you to bow your heads and pray. What is your motive in this service today? What's your motive in this meeting? What has been your motive? Is it you or others? Do you come in here just for yourself, or you are here for others? Do you give for yourselves, or you give for others? Do you only pray for yourself, or you pray for others? Are you available for others? Are you there to serve others? I say, I come and sing that song. Bow your heads and pray.